Good morning. I am so encouraged in the Lord this morning by what he's already done. So I hope you're paying attention because God has something to say this morning. Yes. Let us start with prayer. Oh, Holy One, we thank you for your spirit moving in our midst. There are a lot of words before me, but we need more than words. Oh, Father, by your Spirit, would you feed us? Would you strengthen us? Would you lead us? Would you guide us? Open my mouth that I may speak. Open our ears that we may hear. Open our eyes that we may see. Open our heart and our minds so that we know and understand. And turn to you and be healed. Do this by your Holy Spirit, and we thank you for your presence here. In Jesus' name, amen. Last week, we celebrated the birth of the Big C Church, the Church Universal, in the birthday of Messiah. The sanctuary was festooned with balloons and flags. Two congregations came together to worship and celebrate the Lord with special songs, music, dance, testimonies, spirit-infilling ministry. And after that, we had a smorgasbord of food in the back, fellowship, and an indoor bounce house. And so there's this Sunday. No balloons, flags. In comparison with what we see, it seems a little muted. But if that's our Pentecost 2023 experience, imagine the congregational before and after dynamics of the original Pentecost. 1 week, corporate prayer was interrupted by a violent wind that was accompanied by tongues of fire resting on everyone's heads. And the believers' response to the Holy Spirit's infilling was to burst out into other tongues, other languages, as the Spirit gave ability. That's happening on the inside. On the outside of the congregation, many pilgrims were in Jerusalem for the early harvest of Shavuot. I hope I'm saying that right, Craig. That Shavuot is Hebrew, Pentecost, Greek. Now, according to the Complete Jewish Bible, and I learned this yesterday, the morning service on Shavuot typically included a reading from Ezekiel 1. Ezekiel 1 begins with Ezekiel's vision of a stormy wind and a great cloud with fire flashing forth continually. That was the typical reading on Shavuot, Pentecost. So imagine leaving that congregational gathering and walking into and observing and hearing the activity of Acts 2. Oh yeah, that would get people's attention. They would gather in bewilderment at what they were seeing and hearing. The Apostle Peter proclaimed the message of salvation as he wove together the prophetic words of Joel and King David, words they were familiar with as observant Jews, and wove those scriptures in together with the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. Scripture says that they were cut to the heart by Peter's words. What should we do? And that day, 3,000 people made a commitment to Jesus Christ. 3,000. Imagine, if you will, the congregational dynamics between 1 week and the next. 1 week, you knew everybody in the room. The next gathering, additional 3,000, you knew barely anybody. If indeed you can fit additional 3,000 people in the room you met the week before. Now, Scripture does not record Peter's post-Pentecostal sermon. There was no repeat manifestation of violent wind, flames of fire at the next gathering of believers. Yet the absence of those visible and loud things was not the end of the Holy Spirit's transformative power. In fact, he was only beginning. The prophets Jeremiah and Ezekiel testified of a time when God would write his law, his word, on our inward parts. Jeremiah 31, 33, and 34. This is the covenant I will make with the house of Israel. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. I will be their God, and they will be my people. No longer will a man teach his neighbor or a man his brother, saying, "Know the Lord," because they will all know me, from the least of them to the greatest, declares the Lord. For I will forgive their wickedness and will remember their sins no more. Ezekiel 11, verses 19 and 20. I will give them an undivided heart and put a new spirit in them. I will remove their heart of stone and give them a heart of flesh. Then they will follow my decrees and be careful to keep my laws. They will be my people, and I will be their God. In Acts 2, as prophesied by Jeremiah and Ezekiel, the believer's response to God's activity, the Holy Spirit's infilling, was devotion. After the dramatic events surrounding the day of Pentecost, the post-Pentecost account in Acts 2:42 that was read today begins with the believers continually devoting themselves. Now that long word in the Greek that we translate continually devoting themselves, I need a word geek on this one. What does that mean? It means to adhere, to be devoted or constant to one, to be steadfastly attentive to give unremitting care, to continue all the time in a place, to persevere and not faint. The Acts 2 believers continually devoted themselves to the apostles' teaching, to Scripture. The believers continually devoted themselves to the fellowship, that is, the care and well-being of the fellow believers. The believers continually devoted themselves to the sacrament, the mystery of the sacrament, receiving the body and blood of Christ through the bread and the wine. The church continually devoted itself to prayer, communion with God in worship, thanksgiving, and intercession. And as the church continually devoted herself to these avenues, the Holy Spirit of God will faithfully and continuously empower and guide the growing church. Catherine Martin once wrote that guidance was God, you, and I dance. The bride of Christ, the church, focus on the divine bridegroom, sensitive to the gentle nudges of this dance, gentle nudges of his direction, would entrust herself to the Lord and be guided by him in these practices of devotion into a new way of life, a new way of thinking, a new way of being. 1 John 4:15 through 16. Whoever confesses that Jesus is the Son of God, God abides in him and he in God. We have come to know and have believed the love which God has for us. God is love, and the one who abides in love abides in God, and God abides in him. We see this holy dance of love between the Holy Spirit of God and the devotion of the early believers throughout the book of Acts. Now, each one of these facets of the church's commitment to the Lord is a standalone sermon. But in today's message, I have been guided to focus on the first of those four devotions of the Acts Church, Scripture. Unlike the Western Church, which celebrates Pentecost with the color red, the Eastern Orthodox Church celebrates Pentecost with the color green, the color of life, the life that the Holy Spirit breathes into believers, into the hearts of believers. Green is also a connection with the Jewish early harvest feast of Shavuot. So the church's first Shavuot, Pentecost, was a culmination of a time of waiting and preparation. Shavuot was a pilgrimage, one of the pilgrimage feasts. They had to move from one place to another to celebrate it. Much like you think of Shavuot as a pilgrimage, and think of it like the inward examination we do as a church during Lent. To prepare for Easter, there's a time of preparation, and then there's Easter. But what we learn in that journey to Easter during our Lent doesn't stop with Easter. It continues on. We take what we've learned, and we continue that on. That is the thought, the process for Pentecost, the Pentecost celebration. It is not a one-time thing. It is a marker of a new season in one's Christian walk. And this is where my heart just sang with what Nikita was sharing. We limit the Lord and do ourselves a disservice if we only equate God's large and overt acts of the Holy Spirit, and we are dismissive of that small, gentle, and covert ways that he works. I can get wet standing outside in a downpour, and I can get wet standing outside in a drizzle. Admittedly, one takes longer, but wet is wet. One can get drenched both ways. So this is not about speed. Growth and maturity is what the Lord is looking for. So in keeping with the agricultural theme, the Shavuot Pentecost theme, in today's gospel reading, Jesus refers to himself as the vine and believers as the branches. John 15, 4 and 5, abide in me and I in you. As the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine, neither can you unless you abide in me. I am the vine, Jesus says. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. So remaining in Jesus, that's our NIV translation, but I'm going to use the word abide. That's what the ESV and the New American Standard uses. So remaining in Jesus, abiding in Jesus is our connection to fruitfulness. A quote from Roger Helland, we cannot produce fruit. We can only bear fruit. It is a natural organic result that occurs over time when we stay in a life-giving relationship with Jesus Christ. So until recently, I had always read John 15's verses about remaining and abiding along the lines of like a reflective meditation. But what Jesus, if we look at the text, what Jesus speaks of in John 15 is an interactive thing. It is a dance between God's activity and our response to that activity. So my aha moment in recently reading John 15 was realizing that a significant aspect of abiding in Christ is the Spirit giving guidance. God, you and I dance through the scriptures. So I want to walk today through John 15's gospel reading. So starting at John 15, 3, the Lord prunes or cleanses us through his word. Jesus says, you are already clean because of the word which I have given you. The Amplified adds, the teachings which I have discussed with you. Jesus tells us that his word has the power to cleanse, which was one of the prophetic words that were spoken earlier by Joanne. Jesus tells us that his word has the power to cleanse, to make us aware of dead things we need to separate from, or highlight areas where greater growth is desired. 2 Timothy 3, 16 and 17 speaks of the role of scripture in this process. All scripture is inspired by God, God breathed, and it's beneficial for teaching, for rebuke, for correction, for training in righteousness, that the man or woman of God may be fully capable, equipped for every good work. So the title of this sermon is Church, Devote Yourselves. So church, devote yourselves. That's church corporate, that's church all of you here. Church, devote yourselves. To abide in him through his word is to be cleansed by that word. Staying in the text, John 15, Jesus equates abiding in his word as abiding in him in John 15, 7 and 8. If you abide in me and my words abide in you, ask whatever you wish and it will be done for you. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit and so prove to be my disciples. Now, abiding in Jesus, abiding in his word, does not enable us to strong arm God to bend his will to ours. Rather, it is in abiding in Jesus through his word, as his word moves our hearts, our thoughts, our intentions to be more along the lines of what we pray every week in this place. Thy kingdom come, thy will be done. This is a prayer that the Lord desires to answer in the affirmative every single time. My Father is glorified by this, that you bear much fruit, and so prove, so show yourselves to be my disciples. So, church, devote yourselves. To abide in him through his word is also to bear fruit for his glory. Moving in the text, John 15, 9 and 10, Jesus equates abiding in his word to habitually aligning yourself to the commandments revealed through that same word. To be clear, not one of us perfectly keeps all God's commandments, but 1 John 1, 9 holds true. If we confess our sins, our faults, our failings, God is faithful and just and will cleanse us, will forgive us our sins and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. So trusting in his work, standing in Jesus' righteousness, not our own. The amazing thing that John 15, 9 and 10 says, that the same love that the Father has lavished on Jesus, he lavishes on us. Now that's an awesome thought to consider. 1 John 9 and 10, just as the Father has loved me, so also have I loved you. Abide in my love. If you keep my commandments, you will abide in my love, just as I have kept my Father's commandments and abide in his love. Church, devote yourselves. Abiding in Christ, keeping God's commandments with the enablement of his Spirit, we abide in the love of God. Our walk with Christ is a dance between two truths, two sides of the same coin. Truth number one, Jesus is the vine and we are the branches. Apart from Christ, we can do nothing. Other side of the coin, truth number two, I can do all things through Christ who gives me strength. And that's from Philippians 4:13. Psalm 1 likens the person who delights in God's word, who regularly meditates on that word, is like a tree planted by streams of water. Now, both of these trees are connected to a water source. Standing tall in the Israeli desert, the acacia tree on the left has put down deep roots and has connected with an underground source of water, a source of life in a hostile world, in a hostile environment. We don't see the water, but the water is there because the tree is standing there. So the shade the acacia tree provides isn't much, but is more shade than any of its surroundings. In that same manner, in a like manner, our abiding through Christ, through scripture, Christian fellowship, the sacraments, prayer, Christ, the Holy Spirit, our invisible source of strength and refreshment, begs the attention of others who see our situation and can relate to it. A few days ago, Terry and I spoke with a mom struggling with her children flying the nest. She has a mama's heart, and her heart was heavy. And so Terry and I were able to share in that moment how he and I have kept ourselves grounded and sane and not descended into worry circles with our children trapezing across the globe. So in testifying how the Lord has helped us, Terry and I, using the words of Acts 2, we declare the wonders of God in a language that she understood. Yesterday, I attended the memorial service of a man who, for decades, speaking and living the wonders of God before high schoolers as a beloved track coach. And for those of us of an older age, being able to speak in a manner that a high schooler would understand, relate to, and respect is a language, is a tongue that we need more people speaking these days. In 2 Corinthians 3:3, the Apostle Paul referred to believers as a letter from Christ, written not with ink, but with the Spirit of the living God, not on tablets of stone, but on the tablets of human hearts. Church, devote yourself to Christ, a devotion that includes abiding in Jesus through his word. Abiding in Christ through the word of God will include secondhand absorption, kind of like what's happening now in a sermon where someone takes what they have gleaned from the word of God and shares it with you. That's part of abiding. But a more important part of abiding, a very crucial part, is firsthand experience with connecting with God through the scriptures. Now, those of you who are here, there is an insert. Consider this insert your Psalm 34 invitation to taste and see that the Lord is good. I can talk about this all day, but you won't know unless you taste it for yourself. Consider this your taste and see invitation. Find out for yourself how good the Lord is interacting with the scriptures for yourself, not only hearing someone else interact with the scriptures and tell you about it. Have you ever read or listened to a scripture passage, heard a Christian song on the radio, and one phrase or one word stood out and moved you somehow? In the book of Exodus, after killing an Egyptian man and fleeing to Midian, Moses walked into a desert that he had walked for 40 years and saw something that he hadn't seen before. And the scripture says that when the Lord saw that, he stopped and looked to pay closer attention to this thing that he had never seen before, Moses had never seen before, the burning bush. That's when a life-changing conversation started, when Moses paid attention to something that, what's that about? In the words of Mary Oliver, attention is the beginning of devotion. So the next time something from the scriptures or a Christian song stands out for you, consider that a potential burning bush that the Lord might want to use to start a conversation with you about what you, about that word, that phrase that stood out to you. So connecting with the Lord through the scriptures is not something for a few, but is a gift that the Lord wants to speak to everyone as his child. Imagine not wanting to speak to one of your children. That's a no-no. Of course, he wants to speak to you. And one of the ways he speaks to us is through his word. So if you've never considered connecting with God through the scriptures, I've used this in the new members class. So if you're a new member, you've heard this before, but it's good to go back to the basics and remember. So walk through these steps using the reverse side. That's Psalm 1 that we just read at home. Now, in fairness to those who are online, you don't have this little piece of paper, so I'm going to walk through this piece of paper with everyone here and with you. All these notes will be on the website, so you can take you can look at it later. So I'm going to go through this really quick. I know I'm going to be a little long on time, but I really feel this is what the Lord wants us to connect with him through the scriptures. So point number one, to connect with God through the scriptures, remember you are on a lifelong process, a pilgrimage. As much as you may already know about the Lord, there is always more to learn, and that's true for the one-year-old to the 105-year-old. There's always more. We're going to have a whole eternity to learn more about the Lord. Point number two, position yourself to hear from God, not only by setting up a time and a space to spend quality time with the Lord, but position yourself inwardly by remembering who God is and the value of God's word. Here's a quote from Tim Keller that caught my attention. If Jesus rose from the dead, then you have to accept all that he said. If he didn't, then why worry about any of what he said? The issue on which everything hangs is not whether you like his teaching, but whether he rose from the dead. So position yourself to hear from God, and in your hearts, set apart Christ as Lord when you come to the scriptures to read it or to listen to it. Point number three, plan your starting point for reading or listening to scripture. Having a starting point saves time, so you're not starting your time with the Lord by flipping each day, figuring out what you're going to read, or scrolling through your app to figure out what you're going to listen to. The enemy of your soul, who does not want you drawing near to Jesus, will use that time to distract and discourage you, and we don't want any of that. So plan your starting point ahead of time. Now, the following five steps on this sheet, and I'm going to show, are from Priscilla Shire's 5 P's for Bible reading. So going back, after you've planned your starting passage and come across a verse that stands out or interests you, pause. Pay attention to that burning bush. Attention is the first step to devotion. Point four, pore over, ponder the passage, and paraphrase the significant point of one or three verses. We're not talking about the quantity of verses. We're talking about the quality. God can take a mighty message from a few words. So we're not talking about, especially if you're not familiar with connecting God with the scriptures, start small. God used mighty things. Do not despise the day of small beginnings. Now, your paraphrase of what you glean from that verse or those verses is crucial to what comes next. So paraphrase the important points. Point five, pull out the spiritual principles from that paraphrase. From your paraphrase, what do you believe God wants you to know through these scriptures? Ask these questions. Is there a command to follow? A promise to heed? What attribute or characteristic of the Lord is revealed in that paraphrased message? Number six, pose the question. This is where the conversation really gets real. Turn your observations into personal questions regarding the text. Are you heeding this command or directive? Do you believe God's promise? Do you believe God is who he reveals himself to be in this passage? Again, this is where it gets real. 7, plan obedience. I don't have to say any more than that. Plan obedience. And 8, again, going to what the word was shared earlier, preach God's word to yourself and to others. Remind yourself of what God is teaching you and be willing to share that just in the living of life with someone else. Teaching is to learn twice. So by teaching someone or sharing with someone, it reinforces that spirit, that message that the Lord has given you with someone else. The CBS teacher in me is saying, okay, what's the so what of this message? Why are you saying all this? The heart cry of today's message is simple. In response to the outpouring of God's Holy Spirit at Pentecost, the believers continually devoted themselves to receiving the refreshment and the infilling of God's Spirit over and over again. And one way they kept their love for the Lord fresh and real was to prioritize abiding in the Word, abiding in the Lord by abiding in the Word. As the Lord does not change, he is Jesus Christ the same yesterday, today, and forever. The same winds that blew on that day of Pentecost last week, that first Pentecost, is blowing through this place, is blowing through the church, is blowing through your life even now. And we don't want you to miss it. I don't want you to miss it. Don't miss Jesus' invitation to encounter him through the scriptures, to be empowered to receive his guidance. God, you and I dance. I'd like to read Revelation 3, 19 through 20. Those whom I love, Jesus says, I rebuke and discipline. So be earnest and repent. Here I am, Jesus says. I stand at the door and knock. If anyone hears my voice and opens the door, I will come in and eat with him and he with me. The next song you will hear is a song called Abide. And in the lyrics of Abide, the believer is speaking to God. This is the chorus. You are the way, the truth, and the life. You are the well that never runs dry. I am the branch, and you are the vine. Hold me close and teach me to abide. So let this song that the worship team will lead us with be our prayer. Oh Lord, teach us, teach me to abide in you. In the name of the Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, amen.
Amen, amen. Thank you.